Richards trying to scoot in there alone. A pinball for the crease.
Let's get it.
Oh my god! Here we go, here we go.
You're listening to the Absolute Blues Podcast. With your hosts, Derek.
How you gonna get it, Bobby?
John.
Attaboy, Johnny, eat up, bud!
Matt Casey.
Unnecessary, but totally necessary.
And Cody.
Oh, he's gone.
What's not to love?
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Pod Street Bullies. My name is Derek.
And I'm John. What's going on, everybody?
Only one of us can really do that, so let's refrain. joined as always,
here
the Matt.
My lungs out, let you know.
Matt Casey, interrupt us, please.
Hey! How's everything going?
And Hoagie.
Hey, gentlemen. What's going on, boys?
Nothing
Hoagie,
much.
How was your super sweet 16?
It was great.
for our loyal viewers, Hoagie got a haircut, and he actually might be 23 years younger than I am. Like this is serious.
I mean, he might actually be 23 years younger than you are.
Be careful, man. You're entering Epstein territory here.
I mean, he hasn't slept with them.
minus the money. Yeah, I guess you could get, yeah. You're like Epstein without the money. Oh, that sucks.
So, you're just a creepy old guy. Okay.
This is a start. This is a great start, boys.
Hey, before we go any further, happy birthday to the true patriot.
Oh,
yeah. Happy birthday, Tony D'Angelo. I'll never live that one down. I will never live that one down.
It's a joke.
Yeah, some people just didn't get it. Anyways, it's typical Pod Street fashion here. We've got a couple games to recap, a couple things to talk about in regards to some benchings that occurred. The press conference with John Tortorella as well, we all want to break down. And then really, I want to talk about a positive. We'll probably get to at the end here, kind of in general. But let's visit the games here real quick. If Hoagie wants to, pull those up on the ticker, because quite frankly, I've forgotten. I'm taking this season one game at a time, like the rest of us. Flyers last week did beat the Lightning. Lawton, JVR, Noah Cates each had goals. Noah Cates one was pretty nice. Then they go on to lose to the Panthers 3-4, which okay. Big deal. Then they come back against Nashville, win that game, and then they fall to the Sharks, the lowly Sharks of all teams in this group that we were going to lose to. It was the Sharks.
I mean, in order to fall, though, you need to be standing to begin with.
Yeah, they entered that one. Yeah, not going to get into that. Regardless, general thoughts here from this past week's action, John.
I mean, listen, if you were to tell me that we were going to go 2-2 on this trip and only have one game this season that we look like absolute crap, first of all, I'd call you a liar. I mean, there's no way that I'd think that that's how this team would operate. So, I mean, last night's game was awful, and I do want to spend more time talking about it, but I do think overall, right, I'm generally happy. I mean, we beat a Tampa Bay Lightning team in their home opener, the team that quite frankly should have just destroyed us. We were able to hold our own against the Panthers team that has far more skill than we do. We played a really good game against the Nashville Predators, according to you guys, because I was asleep by 7:30.
What a weenie.
I should have saw it Friday night, brother.
Seven weenie.
I had to tell my kid that I was going outside Saturday morning to clean up squirrel puke in the front lawn because I didn't want to tell her that daddy yacked when he got out of the Uber.
Yacking all over the place.
Who's damn squirrel?
So I think, like, if you just take away the Sharks game for a minute, like, I'm generally okay and kind of pleased with the week.
No, that's fair. I think that's a fair assumption. I mean, what do you think, Matt Casey?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just more so recency bias that Sharks game was last night and still kind of fresh in our mind. But, you know, that Tampa Bay game, you know, not only did we win, but we kept them off the board 5-on-5. Yeah, they have Stamkos, you know, arguably the best, you know, the best power play, one of the best because of Ovechkin in the game on the power play. And he just lit it up. And like, you know, it's tough to tough to stop those. But I think the Nashville game, I was like, damn, if we get a lead, if we get a one goal lead, I'm like, okay, if we get a two goal lead, I like the way that we play from ahead. Like, you know, it's we play pretty locked down. It's just we all knew this going in. The trick was going to be getting goals. But all to say, you know, we're for better or for worse, man, like Carter Hart has been the MVP. And you'd like to see less in there, but man, he's holding this up and giving us a chance to win in every game he's playing. On the flip side, I feel awful for poor
what's Felix.
My
wife calls him Sandstorm.
he's like, oh, let me guess, I get the back to back after travel again. How awesome! Like, what the white this is. But overall, if we're what, 4-2 overall?
4-2.
Yep.
It's one game at a time.
All four wins can be attributed to Carter Hart. Anyways. Before we get into that, Hoagie, general consensus from this past week here.
Great start. I mean, these back-to-backs are really going to be killer. It's the first two of the season out of some 14, 15, 16. It's something like 16, I think. Yeah, it's like Tortorella said, we're 0-2 in these back-to-backs. And you can tell the team
on the ice. You need Tortorella to tell you that, Hoagie?
Listen. But you can just tell the team that's playing in that in the second half of the back-to-back. It's rough to watch. But, I mean, they held their own against Florida, which I was surprised by. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to come back and win that game like they had in all the games before that. I'm tired of seeing them play from behind. But once they get that lead, they hammer down and stick with it.
I think it's fair to say we've all been pleasantly surprised with the results so far. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think we're all. I'm kind of waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm waiting for the shoe to drop, though.
Well, it's like San Jose when it drops, it's going to be like goal normal.
Yeah.
No, it's at the very least encouraging that they can play up to the competition, like Tampa Bay, beat Tampa Bay, and then turn around the very next night and play a pretty competitive game against Florida. You know, keep them on their toes. You know, yes, they lost that game, but at the same rate, what have we always talked about since, you know, the end of last season? If they're going to be competitive and lose games, let them lose games by a goal, be competitive, play the game, and, you know, not throw out another stinker like they did against the Rangers for how many games straight now. Mm-hmm. So that's my big takeaway. They beat Nashville. Great. Nashville, let's be honest, they didn't play well. They did not play well
at all. I mean, they're struggling too this year.
But, you know, the Flyers ran into them at the right time for them. And then they come out and just completely lay an egg against San Jose, which there's going to be games like that.
But Derek, not only lay an egg, like they looked lost.
Right.
They did. Their neutral zone play, it was like one guy would just pass the puck and then everything just.
It was scattered. And if we're being real, like that Florida game, we were lucky to be even within striking distance there. And that last goal came with what? Like 2 seconds.
Nine seconds. Yeah. Yep.
Like the amount of odd man rushes that Florida had in that game was like circa 2020. Like that was disturbing. And I think we're just kind of lucky that Sandstrom played decently.
And that's to Sandstrom's credit. Yes, he's been responsible for the losses so far, the two of them. But like he hasn't played terribly. Like on some of the goals, you can clearly tell. Yeah, maybe there's a couple he'd want back. The one especially, I think it was the not the San Jose game, the Florida game. Absolutely, he wants back. But like the couple, I don't want to call them fluky, but like some that it's like, okay, like what are you supposed to do? Especially against a team like Florida that has high octane offense. You know, it's tough. But at the same rate, I feel like for the most part, they're putting him in chances to succeed. Like they're giving him chances to succeed, putting him in a place that he can. And I mean, obviously it's early, but I think he'll be all right. You know, I think if he can shoulder the load that he needs to, you know, I'm happy about it.
I think we also offensively, like, I agree with everything you said on the goaltending front. Offensively, I just want to see more of a shoot first mentality. You know, we're obviously not getting the most chances out there, but there's been a handful of times where Konecny's let it up. And then on the flip side, like, Konecny just fires one at the net and it goes in. Like, you know, just, I think just more guys need to get it on net and with more frequency. And I'm not a big, like, shot total, because, like, a shot from the blue line, it is not the same quality shot as one from the dots, you know? And so
I think
there just needs to be a little bit more of a shoot first mentality. And even last night, like, we had chances. Like, Lawton had a breakaway, Frost had a breakaway. You know, there were like a handful of like chances in there that, man, you just got to bury, because we're not going to be getting a lot of those.
Right. Well, and it's like, when I was watching the game last night, I was thinking, when it looks like your best chances are coming from guys who, you know, just can't finish the play, like Big Stick Nick and McEwen, like, there were a few just like really pretty plays until it came to the shot. And you're like, oh God. Like, that's Hoagie's beer league level right there. Like, what? That's just happening? Me.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, the positives at the very least from this past week that we can take is that we're starting to see where the goals are likely going to be coming from. You're getting Konecny on the score sheet, and as much as it'll pain a lot of people to, you know, stomach here, JVR is scoring goals, you know?
Wow.
Not anymore, but
another one bites the dust.
Yeah.
And another one.
Here we go.
And another one.
I mean, wasn't that amazing? Like, in the Florida game, they were just like, oh my God, Florida, you're without Aaron Ekblad. I'm like, bitch, like, we are missing like our top forward line and our top, you know, two of our top four defensemen. Like, don't preach that. Like,
boo-hoo.
Listen, them losing Ekblad helped us in a way, but I mean, it's still not to the same course that we're running.
No, yeah. Well, one of their defensemen was playing like their first NHL game, and didn't he have a
he had a goal.
Montour that scored. Yeah, probably. Yeah. That's just how it worked.
I think when they're spending the entire game in the offensive zone, do you really need defensemen?
Right.
Yeah. But like, I'll tell you what, and I'm surprised John hasn't brought this up yet, but that goal by Noah Cates against Tampa.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We already talked about it.
The effort. On that goal. That was fantastic.
You hear like coaches, and I'm sure they've said it about Noah Cates. It's like, oh, he's got a motor. He's got a motor. And I've like never really like visualized what that meant. And like, that's exactly what that meant.
Until you watch him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just amazing effort, sticking with it, getting your stick in the passing lanes, breaking them up. And then you find yourself in a position where you can fire a shot on net with a high quality shot, and you make it, you know, great, especially past a guy like Vasilevsky.
Right. It's amazing where it was too, right in the middle of the dots. Like, like that rarely happens to get the puck right there on a turnover.
I mean, to me, he's the epitome of a John Tortorella guy.
Yep.
I mean, he is going to be someone who is always in that coach's good graces. He's not going to be benched for a period.
Interesting you say that.
Shall we Siggy?
We could. We get to what John had just alluded to. A couple benchings.
The Stars. Could we like the
in our terms? By our terms.
By our
Flyers terms.
Flyer terms.
Third period hit against San Jose, and two players, Travis Konecny and Kevin Hayes, did not see the ice for a single second that period. And I think it's funny in terms of – I shouldn't say I think it's funny, but in the presser, Tortorella said, hey, we're going to address it in the locker room. That's that. So face value here, the benchings themselves, will go backwards this way. Hoagie, how do you take that?
I didn't watch much of the game last night, I'll be honest here. But I'm glad he's pointing out the big boys on the roster, as in the Travis Konecny and the Kevin Hayes. Because, yeah, if you do it to a Zach McEwen, it's not that – you can't really take it at face value. But when you do it to a Travis Konecny or a Kevin Hayes, that means anybody on that roster can be benched. Even D'Angelo, he didn't see much ice time in the third period as well. I liked how Tortorella handled it in the post-game interview we're handling it in the room. Because once you start throwing names out there, it diminishes the point you're trying to. Yeah, it diminishes the point that you're trying to make in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like an AV, he just threw guys' names out there left and right, didn't care who.
It's Connor Hart's fault again.
Right. Like I'm glad it happened. I'm glad it's happening this early in the season because it kind of means something now. It means that.
Sure. Sure. No, you're right. I agree with you. What do you think, Casey?
Casey, are you
here? Casey's on mute. We can't hear Matt Casey. God, there he is.
I think, you know, it was clearly everyone was playing like crap last night. And, you know, Hayes and Connecting certainly were playing like crap, but I don't think they were playing any worse than a handful of other people. And so I think, you know, Hoagie's right. It was a message to the younger guys, but a message to them. But it was also, you know, I also think it was a challenge to some of the younger guys being like, you can't just rely on, you know, the two guys who you think you're going to score. I think it's like, come on, Wade. Come on, Noah. Come on, Morgan. Like, you guys need to be the ones to step up because you guys need to be the man at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Fair point. What do you think, John?
You know, I've kind of gone back and forth with this, and it's almost like I have to wait to give my last judgment on it until I see what Thursday looks like. Because there is part of me that's kind of like, was this a little premature? I just feel like you're looking at two players that have, I mean, we have what Hayes has put up the most points, right? And then you have Konechny, who's the second most points. And yes, they were having a bad game, but the entire team was. So there is a part of me that's like, I don't know. I just feel like after one hiccup with these two, was it necessarily necessary to do this? But if it works, I'm all for it. I'm just worried that it might have the another effect, because if you look at Kevin Hayes, media availability at the end. I mean, the dude looked like he saw a ghost.
Mm-hmm. He just, and actually did too.
Yeah, but he seemed a little bit more receptive to it. So I don't know. I'm not quite ready to kind of just be like, yep, this is John Tortorella sending a message. You know, I'm fully on board with it. Cause I just, part of me can't help but go, maybe this was a little too soon. This team is outperforming anybody's expectations. Even with that loss, we're 4-2, and these two players have played a major role in that.
I like the way he handled it. I think that not going to the press in that press conference right after the game saying, you know, Hayes this, sure, TK that, like, I think it's a good approach. Handle it in the room. Do what you need to do internally. There's no need for us to, you know everything and every part of the business, you know, that's going on.
But it's still very public, though. I mean, they were still benched for a period.
Yeah, like
it's noticeable.
Yeah, like, you know, you can read between the lines. Like, you can guess pretty much as to why they were benched. Now, having said that, it's an interesting approach to do it this early, especially when the Flyers weren't really out of that game. Like, there was still plenty of time to win that game. And who are the two guys on the team that you would expect to contribute as part of a, you know, a comeback potential victory? Right. Kevin Hayes, Travis Konechny. Take that for what it's worth, given that it's the Flyers. But regardless, those are two catalysts that could help spark this team to a win, and they're sitting on the bench for 20 minutes at the very end of the game. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, play, you know, Monday morning head coach here, but it might not be the smartest move if you want to win the game. But in a season that we're supposed to be, you know, figuring things out, getting back to the norm and establishing a culture with this team, I don't know. I'm much with you, John. Like, I'm kind of on the fence about the way and the timing of the message that Tortorella is trying to send here.
Right. I mean, and also, like, we aren't privy to the conversations that they're having, you know, in the locker room ahead of time. I mean, regardless of how well, if well's the word you want to use, Kevin Hayes or productive Kevin Hayes and Travis Konechny have been, like, I think we can all agree they haven't been the most defensively responsible sound people on the ice. Where, you know, if there has been all these conversations and Tortorella keeps preaching this one thing and they're still not doing it, I understand the benching a little bit more, but I just can't help but be like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Again, we're 4-2. We're doing much better than anybody expected. It just seems a different story premature.
If we were 2-4, like if we were 1-5, and it's like, you're going to bench that guy. Like, okay, clearly something's not working. We're not winning games. We're not playing the way that Tortorella wants us to play. Benching somebody seems like the right call.
It has been working.
Yeah. And to kind of mix with that, like, I don't know. Again, the timing of it is what gets me, because 4-2 right now, clearly overachieving. And two of your best players are on the bench for the last 20 minutes in a very winnable game. So I don't know. I mean, Casey, I know you missed the majority of this, but, you know, do you have any more thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'd rather have him do it now and set this, not to preach the gospel here, but set the standard now, because what you don't want is for this to be happening in February and March. And, you know, if we still, I still don't think we'll make a playoff, but if we're pushing to be competitive in March, like, that's overachieving. You don't want to be sending a message now. And so, or sending a message then. So I still think it overall, it's like, we knew it was coming. We knew it was going to come at some point in time. And how are these guys going to react to it? And I think that's going to be the biggest X factor. And when I was walking out, I heard John mention how he was interested to see how they came out on Thursday. And I agree with him. There's no excuses on Thursday. Like, yes, you have injured guys so much, but like, you're home, you've had 3 days rest. You know, you should have had a fire lit under your ass. Like, you know, I think we're going to see the result of this on Thursday.
So I have a question.
Presumably getting Ristolainen back too. I mean, that's a possibility, I should say. Not sure about Atkinson.
I heard Tippett might be on his way back.
Tippett too. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're getting some firepower back there, you know,
which we need. God damn, do we need
it? Yeah, we do. I'm okay with Sealer or Zamula taking a game.
You know what, hold on to Nick Sealer, man.
Like, good for him. Like,
you need somebody like that.
Yeah, I'm not completely.
Well, let me clarify. NHL guy.
Not completely against Sealer. Like, I'll clarify that. But like, you know, in terms of if I'm going to choose Ristolainen or Sealer, I'm taking Ristolainen. You know.
Well, yeah. Well, I think it's more Zamula.
Yeah, it's obvious. Exactly. Sealer versus Zamula.
But if they see something in Zamula, question? Who knows?
Can I ask a question, please?
Not yet. I'm not done talking.
Wait, you're the host. Wait your turn. You only ask questions. That's what you do.
No, that is not.
And you only answer.
I have no contract. I'm a freelancer.
So I want to go back to that standard thing for a second, because if Tortorella is setting the standard at, I don't care how well you've played up to this point, if you have a hiccup on a back-to-back off of a brutal road trip, I'm going to bench your ass. Is that standard too high? No. I don't know. I just think that, like, I think there's a fine line between, like, setting high expectations and setting them too high. And, like, at some point, we were going to have a game like this. This team is not skilled, right? And I just feel like, are you setting the standard too high by saying...
Not what they have, you call skills.
Right. You know, because now what is it? So is it every time that we have a game like this, someone's going to be riding the pine for a full period? Like, I don't know. I worry... And again, this was a question, so I want everybody else to have a chance on this.
But like, question at this point.
Hold on, I ask questions here, according to you.
Is it setting the standard too high at this juncture?
I personally don't think so. I think he looked at the way. Again, I don't think it was an individual play that either of them made. I think he saw both of them playing like crap, and then holistically the team playing like crap and knowing that they are the quote-unquote leaders of that team. Sure. Like, okay, this is the moment. I would have been really interested to see what he did if that was a 1-1 game going into the third period. Like, would he still have done that? I doubt it, but, you know, I think he just saw that, like, after that goal was disallowed, that would have made it 1-0,
I think. 1-0. Yep.
And was that the first or the second? I can't even remember at this point, but like, I
want to say the second.
It was the second period. Once that happened, the wind just came out of the sails and the team just, it went into the, oh, poor us kind of thing. Like JVR got knocked out and all signs are indicating he's going to be out for a bit. And, you know, goal didn't go our way, poor us. And I think like that is the standard that I think we've had in the last 2 years and arguably even prior to that. Like it just, it's going to take a bit, but that's got to end. And I think that's what he was trying to go for.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Hoagie?
I don't think it's too high. I think it could get higher, but like we've said,
can you give an example? I'm not trying to poke fun. I'm curious what you mean.
I think it could get higher by these guys not seeing a game. They're riding up in the press box. That I feel like that's the next step from here.
But do you think that they did anything prior to this game? You know what I mean? Like before this game, it would have been crazy for him to bench them.
Right. Yeah. And I think it was just the play on the ice for them to get benched. Right. Because he even said in the post game there's opportunities for these players to shoot instead of pass, and they decided to make a different play.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wants these players to seize the opportunities and to shoot more. Like we said during, you know, the game recaps, like we want more shots, and instead we're going back to like the Jiří Voracek era where we're just gonna make a billion passes and not create any offensive threat at all.
Yeah, I mean we can barely get into the zone. Stop making passes.
Right. Like at least somebody get into the zone and just go from there. See what happens.
I mean, in defense of Tortorella, he's probably seeing something we're not seeing, obviously. Mm-hmm. Right. So you gotta trust his judgment on that.
Sure.
Like he's already bought me or bought more favors with me than Vigneault has when he was there. So it's like I trust that what he saw was indicative of why he did that.
Right.
So, you know, having said that, is there harsher messages that could be made? Sure. Will they be made? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the right message at the right time? I don't know.
He's got couldn't haze with a machete in the middle of the ice.
Right. It's like, who was it that made that comment from the Phillies? who was the Philly that made that comment? It's different than when we're playing in the Dominican when people are watching with machetes. It was somebody. I can't remember the guy's name, but it was one of the – I think it was game four. He made that comment in post-game. And they, like, quick cut away.
Here's the thing from a standard standpoint. Like, you know, Konechny and Hayes are on the pedestal, and we'll, you know, put stars in quote-unquote. They're the closest thing we got to stars at this point in the forward group. But – You are seeing worse. You are seeing a standard hit. Jackson Cates, he's gone. Lisinski, he's probably going to be gone. Not gone, but you know he's going to be sent back down to the minors. Like
Hodgson is a prime example. Hodgson,
I still think that Frost, like he's got to show up and do something a little more this week as well before he starts getting benched and seeing the press box too. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I do think it is, but I think like for these guys, it's like the embarrassment factor of like, oh, this is what happens here.
Sure.
The other guys, it's like they're almost, I mean, sadly, like we still have expendable bottom six forwards. You know, we're still flush with them.
That's real.
So
plug
I don't know.
Them in, plug them in.
Oh, yeah.
Right. No, it's I think it's fair to question it, obviously, but I think that. This, you know, for better or worse, this seems to be the approach that Tortorella is going to be taking with the guys' play, you know, how they're doing things, because he probably saw something, whether it was in that Sharks game or it was throughout that week, that he didn't like. And that was his way of sending the message to them and to the rest of the team, for that matter.
You think Chuck was going in and going, listen, I'm all for it. You're not allowed to bench Sanny. Not allowed to bench Sanny. That would be a
PR disaster.
It'll happen. Paid for that fella? No.
It'll happen.
I can't tell if it's good or bad, but I have not noticed Sanheim at all. And like, I mean maybe I'm just thinking defensively.
Just no offense.
Like, there's no offense, and like, isn't that kind of what we're paying for? Like, you know, we're not paying this guy $6.5 million for a stay-at-home defenseman.
Listen, he's playing with old man Braun. He can't just skate up the ice and expect somebody to help him out. He's got to stay back a little bit.
So Braun was cycling the other night. Braun was cycling the other night. He was getting involved in the offense.
If you're going to get paid $6 million to play defense, like, it's in the name of the position, defenseman. Like, play defense. Yeah. Maybe I'm old school in that thought, but, like, play the position.
So in a season and a half when Ristolainen is healthy – I love when they were showing everybody's injuries and it's like Ristolainen, undisclosed injury. I'm like, oh, here we go again. Yep.
Right. And I mean, the Atkinson one is the most, is the scariest. That's for me.
Concerning.
Yep.
There's no timeline, right?
No timeline there. I mean, I think let's throw the wager on now. Who do we see first, Couturier or Atkinson? I would have to say Couturier.
At this point, probably. He's skating, right? Yeah. He's skating and traveling with the team, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to play this game.
Yeah, it's Couturier. Yeah. I don't want to. Throw my money down.
Pass. Ryan Ellis.
Hard pass. Did anybody – so I'm going to take a second to vent quick. Did anybody see that the meme or whatever, like Jason Momoa on the red carpet, like who's like behind a guy like stalking him? And it's like Flyers are 4-2, and then they label Jason Momoa like Ristolainen's returning. I'm like – dude, could you be a bigger asshole? Like, come on. I'll admit, yeah, like that meme itself is funny. You can put that to any context, but like, oh no, Ristolainen's coming back. We have to play him over Igor Zamula, who hasn't done shit to this point. Like, is that the worst thing in the world? Like, come on.
No, I you guys know that I'm a big Ristolainen lover. Like, I think he's I like him. I like what he brings to the lineup. Like, is he a dope? Sometimes, yeah. But, like, let's hope that the coaching applies to him. And, you know, if he keeps botching, you know, if he screws up, like, you know, what was the message that was sent last night? They're not above benching somebody. Yep. So, and, you know,
still make bad.
Sealers netting goals every couple games. So, you know.
Speaking of venting. And I'm sorry to do this to go you off.
Bring back the Pop Street Pop Off.
But we're going to have to bring the Pop Off back.
But freaking intermissions, Amy DeFool or whatever her name is, she's like clearly reading the teleprompter for like questions to Hartsy. It's like, Scott, what did you think about the first period?
Pass to Al. Al, look awkwardly. Oh, damn it. I'm not supposed to read the note.
Whoa.
I miss Taryn.
What's her real name? Because I know I got it wrong.
Amy Fadul.
Oh, Fadul. All right. I was just.
Fadul.
Fadul.
Her and Tony D are BFFs.
Speaking of Tony D, did you hear what Hartnell said during one of the intermissions?
What, who?
Hartnell called Tony D'Angelo.
He compared
him to Cale Makar and like and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, it's there, but he's not Cale Makar. Like, Cale Makar is on a different level here.
Noah Cates, Mike Richards, we're set.
Yeah, right.
He said it, and Amy and Tanner
Leshinsky, Mario Lemieux.
Amy was Googling who Cale Makar was. That's all that was.
Did you hear? It was one of the national broadcasts. I think it was the second game of the year where someone literally stated Travis Sanheim and Mark Howe in like the same breath, and I'm like, what? And then it was. I think it was
Chuck Payton.
No, it was Keith Jones was like, I don't think so. Just deadpan. No, I don't think so.
I love when Keith Jones gets in there and just proves them all wrong.
Bobby Orr. It was Bobby Orr. It wasn't Mark Cavill. It was Bobby Orr.
Oh, that's right.
Look at Bobby Orr. And Keith Jones is like, no, I don't think so.
And then be like, oh, I haven't seen a power forward in Kevin Hayes since Eric Lindros. It's like, whoa. You can't be saying that.
Listen, the Flyers have been bad, but.
Come on. Oh boy,
I want to go positive for 1 second here. I think Farabee actually, you saw it a bit in the Florida game, and then he really stepped up in the Nashville game, and so it's good to see him round into form a little bit more.
Right.
So hopefully that's better things to come there. And then I'll also say that. Yeah, and I'll also say that I think Provorov and Tony have been solid.
Provorov.
I like him. Provolone. That's, I mean, you got to put
provolone the provolone and mozzarella.
I've seen flyer shirts with provolone on the back and a nine, like even before he made the roster. I'm like,
you're so cool.
What the hell is this?
I like the pairing. I think they have great chemistry.
I think it's great.
Yeah, you put a guy like Tony D with Provorov. I mean, you saw it for four games with Ryan Ellis, and then you saw it with Niskanen. Put him with a good partner, he'll be good.
I want them to do, like, remember leading into the Winter Classic, they did those documentary things. Like, I want one just following Provorov, those two, and like you force them to like room together on the road.
Oh my god,
like, Kevin, like a real world brothers. Why do you hang your socks up?
Hey, Provy, watch this rally. Watch this rally from Florida.
It's the Cold War all over again.
Bro, come over. We're having some rigatoni. oh, man.
Anyway, they've been good. They've been good.
Yeah. No, great pairing so far, at least. But what we want to get into here real quick, at least on Hoagie's list, we want to talk about the presser with Tortorella after the game. I'm not very privy to exactly what was said, so I'm going to kind of let Hoagie lead this one because this was a talking point on his end. Oh, boy. Good decision or bad decision, we'll see.
The guy who didn't watch the game last night, Hoagie, like, this is your segment.
I was on the timeline.
All right, Hoagie.
He was, yeah, you want me to get my stone and tablet? No.
You're going to read the teleprompter?
Yeah. Without
Hoagie the fool.
Oh, boy. Without naming names, he was naming names in the press conference, and I liked it. And he just pretty much every question he got, he just said, we stunk. This game was awful. We stunk. We stunk. We stunk.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had somebody be that forthcoming like that in a while, at least with AV and Mike Yo. Like, it was just like,
we know what we got to do. We need to just execute.
Yeah, like, we know what we are.
We just need the pucks to fall our way.
Yeah. I'd argue that AV was forthcoming, but in the absolute wrong way. Like, right. He would just berate his goaltender. Carter Hart screwed it for us.
That's all he would do.
It was so clear. I mean, the press conference last night, at least what I saw, it was under 3 minutes. Like, yep. He was in and out of there. Yeah. And it was so clear that he was just like, I know what you guys are going to ask. Like, don't even bother. Like, that was his, like, mentality. And you're like, good for you, man. Like, it's okay to be – I'm glad he's pissed after a loss. Like, and hopefully that translates. Like, you know, a losing culture is being like, no, I think we played really well. It's like, no, we sucked. We sucked last night. And
tell it how it is.
It like, you know, he didn't bring this up, but it's like, what a great day in Philadelphia sports yesterday was. And then it was like thrown with like a big like turd bomb on top of a, you know, cherry of an ice cream sundae with that game. And so
you were thrown with a geriatric shark. It's got like two teeth.
Right.
It's very nice to see a fresh, it's a change of pace when it comes to a head coach being just completely not satisfied with the performance of the team. You're not getting the run around the bush. You're not getting the, you know, oh, well, you know, goalie didn't play well. Like,
you don't run around the bush.
Yeah. Well, I thought you said rub around the bush.
Rub?
What is happening here?
Calm down there, buddy.
Casey's Googling.
We're all married. I know how hard it is to come by, but regardless, now it's refreshing because Tortorella is going to tell you how it is. He's going to tell you exactly how he feels, and he's going to answer your questions before you even ask him. So, I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah. One of the things that I like, and it goes back to that whole standard mumbo jumbo, was he was like, we have to play better in back-to-backs. He's like, back-to-backs are hard, but everybody's got them. We've got 16 of them. And in order to be a professional and succeed in this league, you need to be able to play well in a back-to-back.
Yep. The league did us zero favors, and I don't want to make excuses because yes, everybody has them, but there's a difference with a back to back versus a back to back with travel. And I think yes, San Jose had a back to back, but they played a matinee 50 minutes away from Philadelphia.
Yep.
Like, they played in Jersey.
We get in at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we were in at 3 a.m. and then it's like, oh, turn it around, guys. So like, it's an excuse. I get it, but like, if you have two home games back to back, that is a completely different ball game. And so, like, if we start losing those with regularity, I get that's when I'm like, okay, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I liked that Tortorella said was, he was like, he even mentioned, we got in at 3 o'clock in the morning. We have to be able to alter our game and simplify it.
Yep.
So we set ourselves up for success. Like, he flat out was like, we're not going to play the same way that we would on a normal night under this circumstance. You have to be willing to change things. And I think that that was the big problem, right? I just don't think that he felt like this team was willing to deviate from how they've been playing in a clearly different circumstance.
Well, in your mind, I mean, let's say we're all part of the team. Like, you're winning, you know? So that way that you're playing has given you a modicum of success. How prone are you to want to change how you play? Because if you think that way is conducive to winning and you want to play it on the tail end of a back-to-back, are you going to acquiesce? I mean,
well, my guess is that was probably a conversation that the coach had with them and was like, you know, as the coach kind of instructing them to play a certain way. And we've had that conversation over and over again, right? I mean, you need to be able to listen to the coach. And if you're not, then I'm going to start calling you Claude. Yeah, I said it.
Come on,
the bench.
Eat my ass. I think you bring up a good point there. The team's got to be versatile, you know, especially with that many back to backs. Playing that simple game on the tail end of it, but also, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I disagree a little bit because, again, if they've been successful to this point, why not? I mean, because look at it. You're not playing another game until Thursday night. You got plenty of time to recoup. You got plenty of time to rest up.
That doesn't mean you have the energy to begin with.
Yeah, you don't have the energy.
Okay, and that's fair, and I agree.
But no, it's not fair. It's correct.
No, it's fair. I'm going to say it's fair. It's fair. So, but at the same rate, you've won 4 out of your 5 games to that point,
sure.
Tell me, as a player, are you going to be willing to, you know, again, acquiesce to what Tortorella has to say, or are you going to try to push him and just say, listen, I can play this style of game on a second night of a back-to-back. Like, we can do this, you know? Yeah. Aren't you going to give a little bit of pushback? Respectfully, obviously, but be like, hey, no, Hoagie.
I'm sorry. This team has no leg to stand on, even if they're 3-4 or 4-1 or whatever.
I'm not talking like a full-out mutiny, like a Claude
Giroux type.
I know you're not.
They're not going to have the energy, first of all. Two, they've been going balls to the wall for 5 games straight. That 6th game in a back-to-back where they travel, you need to take it easy and just conserve the energy for the 3rd period like we've had all during that success.
But you do that, and then you end up with Kevin Hayes and Travis Konecny on the bench for that 3rd period.
They played a different style of game.
And I'm betting what happened is that they played that style and it led to a goal. Like that's what I'm betting happened. Now, here's where the rub is. Let's see if we can is
rub around the bush.
You know what Tortorella had been preaching is like, who am I to tell these guys with these talent that's much better than I, like, what they can and can't do. So I think there's like a fine line of like, here is the structure I want you to play versus like, I don't want you to create creative offensive plays, which he does want them to do.
Right.
And so I think there's like, I can see the mixed messaging there, but you know, I think once that second goal happened last night, he saw nothing out of the team that was good.
Right. And maybe that message doesn't come like before the game going, hey, let's dial it back. Right. But maybe he sees something after the first period. He's like, listen, what we've been doing isn't going to work tonight. Like, and when a coach makes that, you know, sends that message as a team, you do have to listen.
Sure. I'm just saying, like, in that scenario, if it's a decision that was made prior to the game,
he's just like, not in Dorchester, you don't.
But is there not some sort of respectful discourse where a leader like Scott Laughton, maybe Hayes or Konecny, it doesn't matter, talks to Tortorella in his office away from everybody else so that they're not creating a scene in the middle of the locker room where he's like, hey, listen, I appreciate where you're coming from, but here's what I think. That's a respectful discourse. And I feel like you can have that. Okay, fair.
You know what I mean? They clearly weren't the problem.
Yeah, but again, like I think that's the type of culture you want to harbor, you know, because you want that respectful discourse where it's not like, you know, Giroux or whoever it was. Again, this is just throwing names out there from the old regime, you know, just saying whatever, I don't care, I'm not going to listen to this guy. There's again, for lack of another word, there's a discourse. There's discussions happening, and it's positive, and it's not, just this guy going rogue, that guy going rogue. It's like, hey, let's talk about this, because again, at the end of the day, players on the ice are the ones playing the game. The coach is just there to try to make sure that the structure's right, make sure that the plays are running and everything's good.
I still think there was, looking at it face value, which is valid that like those two players got benched. I still think there was a big reverse psychology element to it, that the rest of the team was playing terrible, and he was using that to light a fire under the rest of the team.
Oh, right. That's why I'm interested to see about Thursday.
Yeah. So I think that's what it, and it's like, okay, if you want to be a team, like, the two, Hayes and Konechny, they clearly didn't deliver. The young guys who got to play the third period, they didn't deliver either. So like, that becomes that. All right, Thursday, let's show everybody that we're not this bunch of schleps who lost to the 1-6 Sharks. Meanwhile, the Sharks also beat the Rangers. Like that's their their other win. So like, they're not totally dismal, but, so I don't know. I think if you're going to do it game six, fine. Don't do it game 74,
So it doesn't mean anything.
Right. I feel like you do expect a bag skate sometime this week after yesterday's performance.
With that long of a layoff, sure, plenty of time to recover. Plenty of time to punish the guys for their performance against San Jose. The one thing I did want to touch on real quick here before the end of the episode is, at least from what I've been seeing, and I'm sure you guys can add to this also, we're seeing a team where last year losses snowballed. We had how many 10-game losing streaks? Like three separate in one season. We're seeing, and again, six games in.
In our defense, one was a 12-game. So,
sure, yeah.
Thanks, Casey.
That's fair. The way that we're seeing this team bounce back from losses, to me, is encouraging. We saw them bounce back from their loss against Florida, and they came out, played Nashville, played really well. We're about to see how they bounce back from a loss against San Jose, against their only other loss, Florida. So it's, in my mind, again, this is more just a conversation. I don't really have any questions, but like, it's encouraging to see that they're not letting these losses get them down and essentially building on them and just, not taking the, oh, we lost, like, oh, that sucks. They're like, ah, I'm pissed off that we lost. I don't want to do that again.
Well, I think that, and we've said this already about something else, but let's see Thursday, because I feel like after this game Sunday, the team has actually been presented, I think, with their first dose of adversity, right? This was a game that they looked terrible against a poor competition, and their two best players were benched. Right. Mm-hmm. So now let's see if they're able to bounce back on Thursday. If they are, then I'm all about continuing to have this conversation. But I'm not incredibly optimistic about it, everybody.
Not either. I think, look at the schedule they've got. I mean, it's two games, but you got Florida, you got Carolina. Pretty damn good teams.
And then next week you have Rangers, Toronto back to back travel.
And then Ottawa.
Awesome.
A couple days later.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Giroux's going to score freaking four goals.
Oh, boy. How do you think that reception is going to be?
Is it at Wells Fargo?
It's in Ottawa.
Never mind.
Ottawa.
Yeah. Sam Card still on to write up a whole freaking blog about it.
Right.
Oh, don't go
bullying. Paul Giroux scores hat trick in first game against Flyers as an Ottawa Senator.
Back to your original statement, Derek, I also think this team has sort of, not accidentally, but sort of unassumingly gotten a taste of success. Like they've won some games that they weren't expected to win. Right now that Vancouver win doesn't look all that hot because Vancouver is a hot mess. But you beat Tampa Bay, you beat Tampa Bay, you beat Nashville. Those are two really, really solid teams. I don't care what anyone says, and on that particular night we won. And so I think like this team has gotten a taste of success, and it's like, okay, if you want to win, but at the same time, like, I really hope they get the taste of hating to lose. And I think that's what we're going to see on Thursday. Do they really hate to lose? So
Agreed. Anything to add to that, Hoagie?
Biggest difference compared to this Thursday versus last, what was it, Wednesday? Carter Hart. He's going to be a net.
That's true. I mean, see how Carter does.
Nothing gets answered. He's just he's not it.
The man's responsible for two losses, and they're the only two losses we have this season. I don't like him. I'm kidding.
Right. Well, I'd also argue, though, that like that game last night was kind of the games that Carter Hart just lost control of last season, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it would have been interesting to see how he would have performed. I mean, he's been far better this year than he was at any point last year. But, you know.
Just has to let two in and let it roll.
But it's not sustainable, guys. The Corsi for this team, the expected goals against this team.
Shut the hell up.
It's just not sustainable with the way the rest of the team is playing.
Underlying numbers.
Shut the
Corsi, front door. Corsi doesn't account for heart.
Balls and snot and grit. And Oh, anyways, well, there's our dig for the week. But anything else to add to the discussion before we wrap things up here, gentlemen?
I don't think so. I think we said it all.
Still excited to watch Flyers hockey, though. So another week. Yeah. Still in the game, you know?
We haven't had that conversation yet. What are we going to do the rest of the year?
That conversation we had very frequently last season, right before the
November 13th.
Are you kidding me? Like, John wanted to have it like before the season started almost.
We were struggling. It was dark, dark times on the Pod Street Bullies.
Speaking of things that came from dark times, Hoagie, do you have another stupid joke?
Why are you taking my shtick? Do you just want to host from now on out?
No, I just want to get out of here.
Are you tired, Papa?
Yeah,
Papa
John? Sweepy. I'm sweepy.
You need your warm milk?
I had a tough day off today.
Oh, you poor thing. No sympathy, you jackass.
I don't need your sympathy.
So I just got an award for being the most secretive person in the office. I can't tell you how much that means to me.
Boo. Boo.
A tough way to start the week, guys.
Boo.
I'll give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Oh, that was
I like it.
It was all right.
No.
Just all right. No. Nothing more, nothing less.
I'll take it.
I don't like it at all.
All right. Well, take this time also to tell everybody where they're going to find you, Hoagie.
Thought you'd hose on that bird app.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
I thought it couldn't get any worse because it does that.
The bird
How long were you preparing to say that, Hoagie?
Someone said it the other day. I was like, ooh, I like that one.
It's like in the bathroom, on that bird app. On that bird app. On that bird app.
After I got my fresh haircut.
Fuck.
Before John slings any more insults, Casey.
Pod Street Casey on that bird app.
All right, John.
Yep.
Part where, you know, you're good at talking, so.
You can find this podcast on all your various podcast listening receptacles. If you're not happy with what you got, Google it. Buy now. What was that? A little.
Wow.
Yeah, that was quick. Good. You can find John on that bird app at Pod Street Gove. You can find me on that bird app at Pod Street Bob. You can find all four of us on that bird app at Pod ST Bullies.
Feed that bird cyanide.
Alka-Seltzer. Check out our affiliates as well. You can find Flyers High and Wide on Twitter at Flyers HW. You can find the 5-Minute Major Podcast on Twitter at 5-Min Major Pod. And check out The Hockey Focus on Twitter at The Hockey Focus. That's it. Another game Bye Thursday. Now. That's it. Bye.